With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Dipshitty, that's who we're talking about.
P. Diddy, I mean. The thing about watching a man like Sean Diddy Combs step into a federal prison is that the punishment people imagine, four walls, a jumpsuit, a bunk, barely scratches on the surface of what actually hits him. For some people, incarceration is distance, it's structure, maybe even a strange kind of relief. For a personality like Diddy, it is something far more corrosive. It is the first real and unavoidable confrontation with the concept of not being in control. And you can see almost instantly this is not going down easy. Not even close. We've barely cleared the first month of his sentence, and already the seams are tearing. How is he doing in prison? Not well. And he's in, like, Club Fed, you know, Fort Dix. A bumped release date now. That's right. His release date got pushed back because he can't follow the rules. Alleged rule violations, phone privileges disappearing, commissary suspended. And for a man who has lived his entire adult life in a carefully curated environment designed to orbit around his wants, his moods, his impulses. This is a moment where the mask doesn't just slip. It shatters into millions of pieces. And he's already stumbling now. That's true. What does it tell us about the years he's still got in front of him? That's what I want to dig into today. Not the headline level drama or the surface level stuff. Not the tabloid speculation. I want to talk about what confinement does to someone whose entire psychological infrastructure was built on dominance and self-mythology. Someone who has never had to answer to anyone. Someone whose power was as much internal fantasy as external reality. Someone whose relationship with rules has always been, they apply to everyone else. Because when that personality type lands in a place where rules are not suggestions, but oxygen. Where your compliance literally determines whether you eat, sleep, call home, or walk the yard. The breakdown isn't just predictable, it is inevitable. And that's exactly what we are watching happen. Let's start with the basics, the facts we know and can speak to safely. Within his first stretch at FCI Fort Dix, Diddy is already facing documented disciplinary trouble. Reports indicate an unauthorized three-way phone call. That alone is a serious infraction in federal prison. It's not a minor oops. It's a rule meant to prevent coordination of outside activity, manipulation of witnesses, planning, intimidation, things that the Bureau of Prisons takes seriously. Especially with high-profile defendants, especially with defendants convicted of crimes rooted in exploitation and power. Then came the reports of another violation. Allegedly consuming or possessing prison-made alcohol. Good. The infamous Pruno. Again, a significant breach. You don't get caught with Pruno because you're unlucky. You get caught because you're already testing the boundaries, already acting like you are the exception. And again, this is all in the first month. The fallout has already begun. A projected release date pushed back from May 28 now to June of 28. Loss of privileges, the calculated bureaucratic machinery of federal discipline slowly starting to turn its gears. And here's the critical part. These aren't random isolated missteps. They're not bad luck. They're data points. They fit a pattern of mental health professionals, or that mental health professionals, criminologists, and prison staff know all too well. He is going down the path many have before. He's not unique. He's not special. This is what people do with this type of mindset in this type of setting. When someone with a strong narcissistic orientation, and you cannot say he doesn't have that, goes into confinement, this is the script. Not because they're evil, not because they're stupid, but because the psychological architecture they rely on in the outside world, the idea that they are exceptional, untouchable, can't stop, won't stop, above the standard rules of gravity, just doesn't translate to a place where uniformity is the entire point. And when that system pushes back, they don't adapt. They push harder because they can't stop, won't stop, remember? We're seeing that already. And if he continues to let that instinct drive his decisions, the next several years are going to be more punishing than anything a judge could put on paper. Let's break down why. You cannot understand the collision course ahead for Diddy, without understanding how confinement clashes with the psychological fuel of someone who lives in a narcissistic cycle. This isn't an armchair diagnosis. We're not labeling him with a clinical disorder. We're talking about obsessive behavioral patterns, grandiosity, entitlement, a craving for control, the need to dominate the narrative, the belief that the rules exist to be bent or negotiated. These are traits, not diagnoses. And they're traits that come into direct conflict with incarceration. The first point of collision is autonomy. For someone like Diddy, autonomy isn't a luxury. It's the cornerstone of identity. He controlled his companies, his music, his staff, his environment. He curated every interaction, every accusations, or even accusations against him. For decades, we're met with legal teams, PR strategies, and the ability to reshape the narrative in real time. That level of agency becomes part of how you experience the world. It becomes the baseline. Prison strips that instantly. Suddenly, your schedule is predetermined. Your meals are predetermined. Your movements are predetermined. Your tone of voice with staff matters. Your compliance matters. Your ability to improvise, negotiate, persuade, intimidate, or outmaneuver is reduced to almost nothing. And if you've built an identity around being the one who sets the rules, not the one who follows them, that's psychological whiplash right there. And it's violent. The infractions we're seeing now are textbook early stage reactions to the loss of autonomy. They're not survival tactics, they're protests, subconscious or deliberate. They are attempts to reclaim a sense of control, to assert identity, to remind the mind, I still have power. But in prison, those attempts don't work. They backfire. And when they backfire, the next step is often escalation. The second collision point is the loss of audience. People underestimate how much narcissistic personalities depend on external reinforcement, validation, admiration, eyes on them. The celebrity version of this is magnified tenfold. Diddy has spent decades being watched, listened to, catered to, feared, worshipped, and judged, all forms of psychological fuel. Even negative attention serves a function. It means the world is still watching, and in prison, nobody cares. The attention economy disappears. The hierarchy shifts. The things that made you powerful outside mean almost nothing inside. And that sudden disappearance of audience creates a vacuum that some inmates try to fill by pushing boundaries or stirring conflict, anything that creates a sense of visibility again. It's like a little kid hitting the pool. Look at me! You don't break rules in the first month unless the silence is already getting loud. The third collision is the loss of special status, and this hits them hard. Even in prison, some inmates maintain a thin layer of privilege, money on the books, maybe supportive visitors, better lawyers, but that doesn't erase the reality that inside the institution, sameness, it's kind of the rule. A billionaire and a broke man wearing the exact same jumpsuit. Narcissists experience it as humiliation. They don't adapt gracefully. They resent it. And that resentment often becomes a motivator for rule testing. Violating phone restrictions? It's not an accident. That's the rules aren't for me. Possessing Pruno? That's I decide what I can and cannot do. And the system doesn't care. It documents, it responds, it punishes slowly, methodically, impersonally. And for someone whose life has been personal, personal success, personal power, personal mythology, that bureaucratic indifference is its own kind of torture. Collision number four is the loss of illusion. People with deep narcissistic patterns maintain elaborate internal narratives. I'm in control. I'm respected. I'm brilliant. I'm feared. I'm the exception. You know, you can almost hear it in his, you know, upcoming promo video of Diddy's gonna be free, like he played Please Don't Sentence Me Forever video, which he played in court, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Prison destroys these illusions one by one, not metaphorically, but logistically. The walls don't bend to your self-image. The CO doesn't respond to your bravado. The disciplinary committee doesn't care who you were in 1997. The prison economy does not reward grandiosity, and when someone realizes that their internal mythology doesn't protect them anymore, the result is often rage. Withdrawal, impulsivity, depression, or in many cases, more rule violations. When you can no longer maintain the illusion, you try to rebuild it through small acts of rebellion, and those acts are exactly what get you punished. So let's talk about what's ahead, because this is how it begins. It's not hard to see how it continues. Over the next several years, the primary danger for Diddy is not an attack or another inmate or some Hollywood version of prison violence. The real danger is that he becomes his own worst enemy, which he already is. If he keeps pushing boundaries, he's going to continue losing good time credits. That alone can add months or years. The Bureau of Prisons does not hesitate to reduce earned time when an inmate shows poor institutional adjustment, and Diddy's already giving them material. Repeated infractions can lead to transfers. Low security to medium, medium to high. Each step up the ladder is another layer of restriction. Fewer programs, fewer privileges, more tension, more control. Narcissists do not thrive under escalating structure. They escalate back, and the system responds accordingly. There's also the looming issue of his acceptance into the Residential Drug Abuse Program. RDAP isn't just a class. It's one of the only sentence-reducing tools left in the federal system. Lose eligibility, and you lose months or even a full year of potential reduction. If continued rule violations jeopardize that, he won't just be getting written up. He'll be serving significantly longer. Beyond that, there is triangulation, attempts to manipulate inmates against staff or against each other. It almost never works. It's transparent. It gets reported. But it's a classic fallback strategy for someone used to running empires through influence and internal politics. And every attempt becomes another write-up. There will also be conflicts with authority. Not necessarily dramatic conflicts. More often, small moments of entitlement, tone, attitude, refusals, complaints, attempts to bend minor rules. Staff document everything. Legal consequences matter too. He is still appealing, and every disciplinary mark becomes part of that file. Judges look at patterns. Prosecutors highlight them. Poor adjustment inside prison can weaken arguments during appeals for compassionate release. Sentence reconsideration or even supervised release condition years down the road. The psychological toll alone is enormous. Narcissistic personalities often decompensate under prolonged stress and loss of control. Depression, aggression, impulsivity, emotional numbness, paranoia. These aren't dramatic predictions. They're well-documented patterns of narcissistic collapse in confinement. And these internal storms often lead directly to external violations. None of this is hypothetical. We're already seeing the early indicators. So what does all of this mean? It means that Diddy's story from here isn't a simple countdown clock to May or now June of 2028. It's not static, it's dynamic. Every day inside the system is an encounter between who he has always been and who the system demands he become. And so far, he is losing that fight. But more importantly, the story isn't about whether he deserved 4 years or 14 or 40 or 400. It's not about the specific charges or the split between the counts he was acquitted of and the ones that stuck. It's about what happens when the life you built for yourself is finally put into direct conflict with the rules of a world you can't buy your way out of, charm your way through, or intimidate your way around. This is not the fall of a celebrity. It's the unraveling of an identity. And for a personality type that depends on control, confinement isn't just the absence of freedom. It is the presence of a new authority that does not negotiate. Someone else tells you when to wake up, when to eat, what to say, where to go, and how much time you have to live behind those walls before you earn even an inch of movement back. For Diddy, the real punishment isn't the length of the sentence. It's the fact that the system does not care about who he once was. His name, his past, his legacy, they don't function as currency here. They don't buy him privileges. They don't protect him from consequences. They don't shorten his time. And when you've lived your entire life believing you're the architect of every room you walk into, stepping into a room you don't control isn't just humbling, it is psychologically catastrophic. So here we are, month one, rule violations. Then another one, one lost privilege, one extended release date, and years still to go. If this is how the story starts, imagine how rough the middle chapters will be if he doesn't adapt. Imagine how much harder this gets once the novelty fades and the weight of permanence settles in. This is not Diddy versus the justice system. This is Diddy versus the one thing he's never been able to conquer, the loss of control. And that's the fight that no amount of money, history, ego, or myth can help him with. How do you think it's going to play out? Give me your thoughts in the comments section. YouTube is the place to do that. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. If you're listening to us on the podcast platform, thank you. Hit subscribe there. And then do check out our YouTube channel for videos and our commentaries and our interviews and all that stuff. Check it out. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. And hit subscribe. You think, is he going to adapt better? Is this just growing pains? Or is this just the very tip of the iceberg of a very tumultuous multi-year incarceration of Sean Diddy Combs, otherwise known to us as Dipshitty? Your thoughts in the comments section. Looking forward to hearing them. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.